You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect all right.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm just going to do a couple quick texts. Look like I got somebody on the line already. Which one of the brothers online with me?
Cleophas.
Oh, Brother Cleophas, good. Just want to check make sure you can hear me. Okay, I'm checking out, trying out a new microphone. But it's good to have you, Brother Cleophas. This is from Christian Speak Talk Radio. This is R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. And expect a couple more brothers on. I didn't really get a lot of responses, but if it just be us two, bro. Okay? Just be us. Amen.
Good enough.
I just want to remind everybody that His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan. Amen. It's 7 p.m. and on Wednesdays. Amen. Declare the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall. It's every Thursday at 12 p.m. Friday Night Joy is every Friday, of course, at 7 p.m. It's the first, the second, and the fourth Friday of the month. The Bread of Life is every first and third Sunday at 7 p.m. A weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. That's at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. The dialing number is 267-807-9605. The access code is 732-499. This is a weekly midday prayer. Amen. Also, I want to remind you of Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. It's every first Monday at 7 p.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwen is every third Monday at 7 p.m. Matters of the Heart is every third Friday at 7 p.m. Let's see what we got. Bold and Beautiful is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. That's again for the young people. And of course, R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. A Marriage Takeover with Pastor Eric and Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And the newest broadcast is Spiritual Nuggets of Truth, which will air every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. The host is Minister Carmen A. Booker. Please go check us out on the website. You'll find a little bit more about us. And also, you can get in contact with the different hosts there. And this is some of the old broadcasts we have there before. Amen. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to open up with prayer. Amen. Father God, we come to thank you again for today. God, you are worthy to be praised. A brand new day, a day that we have not even seen before, a day of grace and mercy, a day, God, of thanksgiving, a day, God, of your love and your compassion that you have to have us, God, a day of favor. So, Father, we pray today that you will bless those that are listening to this broadcast as we talk about godly truth. We pray, God, that it will begin to break yokes and bring forth understanding. We pray even for healing to take place, God. We thank you, God, for all of those that are listening all across the world, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, whatever that's going on in their life, that you will begin to come and heal and deliver, God, and whatever needs to take place, and restore, God, with the canker and the locust and the grasshopper worm have eaten, God. Whatever needs to take place in their life, God, we pray that you do. We pray that you will keep them safe, God, in your arms, Lord Jesus. We pray not only for those that have accepted you as their Lord, but we pray for the unsaved too. We pray, God, that a great awakening may take place in their life, that they might cry out, what must I do to be saved? We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So, Brother Cleophas, said, you still with me? Who else do I have on the line with
I am.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Okay, good. We'll go on and go ahead and get started. Who else I have on the line with me? One of the brothers? Maybe not. Okay. All right. So, Brother Cleveland, like I had sent the message, and I always do this the last minute, but I try to do it earlier. I try to send a message early, man, about what we could talk about, because, and I also try to say, you know, see what you guys want to talk about. There's so much that's going on all around us, especially with the war in Ukraine and all the politics and the good things and Hollywood. I mean, there's so much that's going on. And all I can think about is truth, that there's so much false narratives, false lies, and all that kind of things going on. But I just want to just talk about what is truth, you know, and what is considered to be godly truth and everything. So that's basically where I'm coming from today and everything like that. That's basically where I'm coming from today. I just want to talk about truth. And I think that we need to, I just felt the need that we need to reexamine ourselves as men and realize what's truth. We hear lies probably almost every day. You know, where we work at. I mean, and no doubt that some of us even tell a few white lies, as they call it, and everything. But I believe that God is calling us back to truth and everything. So I'm happy and I'm excited about the word that he has given. And like I said, let me just turn to my notes here real quick. Okay. All right. So, Brother Cleveland, while I'm doing that, how are you doing, sir?
And I am doing exceptionally well, brother.
Oh, amen. I'm glad to hear that. Still waiting for a couple of people to join us, some of the brothers or sisters. I sort of opened the line up for anybody and everything to join us. So,
well,
yeah.
If it's just you and I, we'll make it do
we'll
what
go for it. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first question I ask is, what is truth, man? You know, and how do we... And then I said, how do we as men represent truth, you know? And I think that's missing from a lot of our just daily conversation, especially with men on men, you know? And I know that the only way to get back there is through Jesus Christ and everything. That the only way for us to be truthful to our own self is to be have Christ in our life. Because we would lie even to ourselves. We will lie even to ourselves just to make us feel good or whatever and stuff like that. So I did pull out a couple of scriptures and everything, and this is I'm gonna read, this is coming from Psalm 15:1. It says, Lord, who should abide in thy tabernacle? Who should dwell in thy holy here? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. So who should abide in the tabernacle? God is looking for those that are truthful. You know, he's looking for those that are truthful, those that are following Christ and everything. And I believe that that's to be something. We have to be, especially as men and as believers, you know, we have to be honest. You know, there were times that was in my life that I could have gotten something extra stuff. You know, when somebody presented, it could have been that. But the thing for me that took place was there was a guilt that, not a guilt, but a heaviness on my heart to do the right thing. You know, back in the day, I was like, oh, ching, ching, thank you. But now, because I'm not the same, but I was am there, then I can truly say that, no, I can't do that. You know, I can't do anything like that. It wouldn't be right before the God that I say I serve. How can I be righteous? We talk about having virtues and having honor and have respect and all those kind of things. And those things are in the world as we speak, but we as believers have to take it a little further, because at any given time, we can do something or say something, whether it be a joke or whether it be a white lie or whatever, and then we've gone off of what God has called us to do. What do you think, Buzz?
I agree with you. Yeah. You know, I saw your question, you know, what is truth? And, you know, in the most, you know, layman of terms or the most basic of definitions, is the truth is the opposite of a lie.
Right.
And you know, I think that a lot of times, even as believers, we tend to live or believe a lie more than we believe the truth. You know,
yeah.
find that a lot, even within the four walls of the church building. Some of the traditions and the things that we do have nothing to do with the gospel whatsoever.
Right.
And we turn that into our truth. And so I think the other thing with the truth is whose truth is it? Because you can tell yourself something and believe it to be the truth when it's as far from the truth as the East is from the West. Yeah, so I think you have to establish the truth based on the Word of God and that let the Word of God become the truth. Yeah, in Romans 1, excuse me, in Romans 1 and 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so, you know, Satan is very, very crafty at changing the word of God to make it seem like this is being said when in reality it's not even close to what's being said. Again, you got to examine, you know, whose truth is it? Where did they get it from? So, yeah, it's there's a lot of untruths being spread in the world. You look at what's going on in Ukraine right now, and you know we don't know what the truth is or why they invaded. Putin knows what the truth is, why he invaded, and the rest of it is a bunch of speculation until he says that I did it for this. And typically when a war starts, it's usually because somebody wants somebody else's stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And they go after you with force when you know, they can't get it, you know, another way. So, you know, again, it's whose truth is it? I think as men, you have other questions. How do we represent the truth? I think we represent the truth based on living a life that lines up with the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. While you were speaking, amen, I think someone else just joined us. Who's on the line with us?
This is Elston Green.
Hey, my brother Elston. It's good to hear your voice again, man.
Well, what's up, brother Elston?
Hey, yeah. How y'all doing?
We're doing all right, man. We just talking about truth based off the topic that I sent out and everything. And I do apologize. I got to get better with sending out things the last minute with your brothers, so to give you a heads up. And Brother Astor, I put LOL with the message that you sent me, but thank you for that. Because I wasn't trying to be deep, by the way. You know, I really wasn't trying to be deep. But like I had said to Brother Cleophas, I guess it's because there are so many lies that are being told that's out here, or false narrative, to use the word, and everything like that. And it's, or half lies, as we used to call it back in the day. There's some truth in it, but it's not all truth. So it's still a lie.
Right.
And,
amen.
One of the things that I guess I got it, that the scripture, what is truth from, let me just turn to it, right back to it. It was coming out of John chapter 18. And when another was celebrating Easter Spirit, Resurrected Sunday Spirit coming up, but this is Palm Sunday today. So I thought about it, and I said, well, that was one of the questions that Pilate asked Jesus Christ. He says, what is truth? And basically starts off of verse 33. I'm just going to read this real quick, and then we're going to dialogue about this a little bit more, okay? It said, then Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered him, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now it's my kingdom, not from his. Pilate therefore said it to him, thou sayest I am a king. Amen. I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? He asked, that's when the question comes in, what is truth? You know, and I guess when I looked at the scripture, that thing is that he didn't understand that he was standing in front of the living truth. Because you would not ask, what is truth, if you understand that you're standing in front of the living truth, you know, and everything like that. So, but he was, you know, he was confused. He didn't know how to respond and everything like that. And so I honestly believe, from my perspective anyway, and again, I don't want to do all the talk, but I honestly believe from my perspective anyway, that we as brothers, even with each other, has to go back then, come back to the place of truth, to a place of truth in Christ, not truth of what we think it is in our own mindset, because like Brother Creo said, that it depends on your perspective. My perspective of truth in my flesh might not be the same of your perspective, but when we bring Christ into the equation, that changes. Amen. So I'm going to let you, brother, go ahead and dialogue a little bit about that, and then we can get into some other questions. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody? Yes.
So, Ray, I don't have nothing for that, man.
Okay. No problem.
I'm a loss. I don't know. I have nothing. I don't know. I mean,
No. You're good, bro. We're good. We all in this. We all at the table eating the all the food that has been prepared. We good and stuff like that. Because I didn't really have anything either, and then I started looking at a couple of scriptures and everything. I just think that we're at a point, and I don't want to bring up what took place in Hollywood, because as most of you know that are listening, that's been talked about like crazy, whether who was right or wrong and stuff like that. But I guess that stirs something in me about not only being truth to ourselves, but being truth with each other as men, and being honest with each other as men and everything like that, you know, and stuff like that, and being able to deal with the things that disagreements and everything, and being truthful about those disagreements that causes, like you said earlier, that do causes wars and rumors of war, that do causes conflict and everything like that, that do put people in the grave and stuff like that because of something that's not even true, you know, or something that's misunderstood and that kind of thing. So that's basically why I wanted just to reach out, because somebody might be going through something right now and everything, or going through an experience right now where lies has been told and it's farther from the truth. And we need, as men, need to know how to deal with it, or how to address it without causing harm, you know. And the way we do that, it all goes back to Christ. It has to go back to Christ and then all that we do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And listening to what you were just saying, brother, and dealing with family and friends and coworkers and such, you know, there has to be a level of, you know, let's just, me and you talking. I should be able to tell you the truth without offense being taken.
Right.
And I think what happens is, you know, people want to tell another person the truth about a situation, or what they really think, sugarcoat it, or they don't tell the truth because they want to spare someone's feelings. And you know, and here's what the word says. It says in Ephesians 4:15, it says speaking the truth in love. And so often the truth can come out and it sounds so harsh, and it can be a shock to a person's ego, pride. You know, and now there's an offense that's being taken, and now you got two people that aren't talking anymore. Or they're at odds now because one person tried to tell the truth, and the other person couldn't handle the truth, as my man Jack Nicholson so eloquently said in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. And sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. You know, we want to hear that lie. We want to hear that thing watered down to make us feel good. But whoever said your feelings had to be a part of it, it's the truth. If I'm running off the road and I'm heading for destruction, man, I don't care how it sounds. Tell me the truth so I don't destroy myself.
Right.
So, you know, I think a lot of things come into it. You know, why aren't we honest with them? Why aren't we truthful with ourselves? And I really believe pride, ego, not wanting to hurt someone's feelings, all of that comes into play. And the scripture tells us how we should handle it. We should be speaking the truth in love. And
right.
So how do you accomplish that? You know, it comes through relationship and fellowship, not just relationship, but fellowship. You know, if you only talk to a person once in a blue moon, how are you going to tell them the truth about something that they may not be offended when they don't know your heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so some of that comes through fellowship. And sometimes it's just best to keep your mouth shut.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Wait for that, you know, wait for that moment that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, say now is the time that you can interject. You could be speaking the truth to someone that's a non-believer, and you could be pushing them away from Christ. Because, yes, what you're saying is the truth, but it's not drawing them in. It's pushing them away.
Right. Well, I like what you said about it. Truth is to be done in love. You know, I've known people to be brutally honest or brutally truthful, but like you said, that it is damaging and stuff like that, and to the point that the person becomes no earthly good or whatever, or they go out and do something that they shouldn't have done because the truth was told and everything. And a lot of that probably has to do with maturity also, but it also, for us as believers, you know, and you know what I just thought about? In some cases, I'm not sure whether, and Elsa, maybe you can help me with it. I don't know whether you have an opinion on, but in some cases, people need to hear brutal truth.
Yeah, I was sitting here when you were talking, right. I was thinking, I was like, I said, there's so many variables when you share the truth to people that, you know, I don't even think there is a right way or wrong way. And I said it by saying this, you know, you can't control how people feel when you tell them something. You can't control. Try to sugarcoat it. You could try to put some ice cream on it and some whipped cream with cherry on top. But it depends on how they feel, how they are feeling. You cannot control that. And I know for me, even, you know, speaking with my wife, you know, we got in an argument. I said, well, why are you upset? I didn't. That's not what I was saying. I didn't mean to say it like that. And she had to tell me, look, you can't control how I feel when you say something. That's up to me. You can't control it. So she was like, you just need to say it. And if I get upset, I get upset. That's on me, you know. And so she said, I know you come out of love, but, you know, it may upset me or may hurt my feelings or whatever. And so, yeah, I can apologize, but then if I apologize, am I apologizing for telling the truth? Or am I apologizing for hurting your feelings? But then if I apologize because I'm hurting your feelings, then now I don't want to tell the truth because I don't want what? I don't want to hurt your feelings. So it's really no right. I don't think there's so many variables you could do. I think the best thing you could do we tell the truth is tell the truth and just pray as you're talking that they receive it. And if they don't receive it, at least they heard it. So they can never say they were not told. When you give somebody a warning about something or you tell them about themselves and love and you say, hey, listen, you know, don't go out in the street. You know, you might get hit by a car. Let me get mad. Who you are telling me? I'm a grown man. Tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. Okay. they go out street play and they get hit by a car and get hurt, you know, all they can say is, wow, Elston told me. He told me not to do it. So, you know, at least I'm at the point in my age that at least I said something, so you can't say you wasn't told.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking what I'm hearing you say, Brother Elston, too, is you're responsible for what you say, and the person that's hearing is responsible for how they hear. You know, you could say something to someone that's truthful, and you mean absolutely no harm to them in what you're saying, but because it's true, and again, people just can't handle the truth.
Yeah,
they don't. They can't handle the if you want to call it brutal honesty from someone, you know. But that's kind of what Paul said. Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?"
Yeah.
You know, and people will take what's the truth and not like to hear it from you, and now all of a sudden you're their enemy, and that's what Paul said. I'm telling you the truth. Am I going to become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? And that it ought not to be that way, but it can be that way. And a lot of times it is. And you know, as the person that's telling the truth, you know, you got to be able to handle what you said that you know is true, and the other person knew is true, and be able to move on and move forward without letting that episode affect you for the next episode that you might have to have with someone. And I was listening to you talking about, you know, the episode with your wife, and again, that goes back, for me anyway, it goes back to a level of fellowship. You and your wife are in relationship, but you're in fellowship, and you guys communicate all the time. And I think that's part of it when you have someone that you communicate with all the time, and they get a sense of where you're coming from, you know, from a heart perspective, that you don't mean them no harm. But man, sometimes you just gotta look somebody in the eye and just tell them the truth. You're wrong, you know. And
right.
I think the peace of speaking the truth in love that I spoke about in Ephesians 4:15 is when you don't have that fellowship with somebody where they know you and they know that, hey, you know, Ray doesn't mean me any harm. He's just keeping it real with me. And as the young folks say, keeping it 100. And I think that has an effect or can have an effect on how someone receives even the truth. They know it's the truth, but they don't want to receive it from you because of the way you said it. And so many people get so offended so easily, you know, with depending on who's saying it. You know, they get offended from the pulpit because, you know, the pastor said this, and it looks like he was looking right at me and talking right at me. He had to be talking about me. I'm leaving the church. Sit your tail down and grow up.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also,
I think from us, you know, like, you know, from myself, you know, Brother Elston, and from you, Ray, you know, when we have these platforms, we have to know that man, we might be telling the truth, and we're telling the truth. Sometimes
people just don't hear. Yeah, amen. Yeah, the other thing you were talking, I thought about, is the scripture talk about that if the prophet doesn't warn them, you guys can correct me, or sound the alarm or whatever, then the blood is going to be on the prophet's hand, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and everything like that. So, especially with us as believers, as those that and being in leadership, they're you know, I don't want nobody's blood. None of us want anybody else's blood on our hands because we didn't warn them or we didn't tell them the truth or we didn't stop them from going in a direction that God gave us to tell us don't go there, and they went anyway out of disobedience, you know. And there's going to always, unfortunately, we live in a day and time, there's going to always be some form of conflict within the body, within the church, as because we talk of dealing with human beings, we're dealing with people, we're dealing with flesh. They're going to take it, what was said, and leave the church and don't go back to any church because they got hurt. But what they heard was the truth. Okay, what they needed to hear was truth and stuff like that. And it's actually, I'm looking at the scripture now, and it's coming out of John chapter 8, verses 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall set to make you free." The truth shall make you free. You know, so it has to be your point in our relationship. That even because I've had some people say some some things to me that I did not like. But what for me, and I can honestly for myself, I had to go back and reexamine what was said. Okay, reexamine what was said, and talk to God. Am I really coming off that way, or do I sound that way, or am I headed in the wrong direction and everything? Because what God. There's a scripture that talks about how God chastises those that he loves. So we want to be chastised and stuff, because chastisement comes in different in forms. It's not always the same way. Sometimes it's through a word of knowledge, and sometimes it may come from somebody in leadership to bring correction, you know, or to change a path and everything like that. So for me, like I said before, I definitely don't want any blood on my hand when it comes to that. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Nelson, you got anything to add, or you good? Amen. All right. Okay, so it's, how do we handle things that are not truthful? How do we deal with when we hear something that is not truthful? As men, as believers first, and then as a man, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that, Brother Cleosis?
I have a simple formula that my man of God, my pastor, taught me many years ago, and it's simply this: my response is my responsibility.
Yeah.
You say whatever you want to say, and you know if it's something that's not true, then why do I need to respond to it? Why do I need to dignify that with an answer? And who am I trying to prove myself to? You know, the people that know me, they know if I'm engaged in something or not engaged in something. So they know the truth. And so who am I just trying to defend myself? You know, and when you operate in love, the script that love will disarm your enemies. And so I'm after the heart of God, man. I've divorced myself from defending people. I'm after the heart of God. I think it's Proverbs 16. I'm not, I know it's in Proverbs, but I'm not sure if it's 16 or not. But it says this. It says, when a man's ways please God, he will make even his enemies to be at peace. Mm. So why am I trying to justify myself to you, man, when I should be justifying myself to God? I'm going to do what the word says. And if my ways, if I'm pleasing God, you got to line up. That's what the word says.
Right.
And if the word fails, then the Bible says heaven and earth has to pass away. So heaven and earth ain't gone nowhere. God's still sitting on the throne. So I'm after God's heart. I'm not after man's heart. And I think that's where we get so twisted and mixed up, is we're out to try and please people. No, stop trying to please people. Stop trying to be justified by people. Please God. And everything else, get your vertical relationship right. Everything horizontal will line up with the word of God.
Right. Yeah. There's several things that you was talking about that came to mind. Is that the response that Jesus had when he was about to go to the cross and they was speaking lies on him and everything like that, you know. And there's something, not all cases, but just a usage of this. Sometimes when someone is not being honest or not being truthful about you, I'm talking, you know, that sometimes it's best not to say anything and let the Holy Spirit speak on our behalf, you know. So like Elster said, which I love what Elster said earlier about there may be different types of scenes that, and it just depends and everything, you know. Sometimes it may be in your best interest, not necessarily, well, I don't want to say defend yourself, but speak and tell your side. And other times it's like, okay, whatever. You're going to believe what you're going to believe anyway and stuff. You know, you're going to do what you're anyway. You're going to already, you have not only became my judge, but you became my judge, my jury, and my executioner. And it's based off a lie and everything. And our relationship with Christ has to be strong to be able to go through that period of time. Because there's nothing worse than that. Everybody know that have an opinion of you, and it's based off the lie. It's not based off of truth and everything. And they treat you based off of what somebody else said or what they heard, even though it's based off a lie. And even after they found out that it wasn't true, they still looked at you side-eyed. So we, especially with us men, and we have to be very careful, you know, how we deal with those things, you know, because, you know, many of us, I'm speaking for myself, at least not now, because I'm older now and wiser, but back in the day when somebody said a lie, told me, or a lie on me, I mean, many of us at a point was ready to fight or throw hands, you know, if we were going to be honest.
No
we
doubt.
Ready to throw hands, you know, and said, yeah, and be able to tell them, like, say it again, say it again.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. But
I'll beat that
God,
thing right out of you.
Yeah, you know, thanks be to God that we are not like that now, and we pray not to go back to that point where we slip up or make a mistake and say, okay, this on, you know, or whatever. But treat them in it's real. I mean, some people still, whether they're a Christian or not, they still have the issue with a lie being told. I thought about,
yeah.
You guys can help me with this too. Thought about, I've met women in my life that hate to be lied to. I mean, they absolutely hate to be lied to. I don't care how small it is, how big, they do not like to be lied to. You know, they don't want to hear the white lies or nothing, like no lies, whatever, and stuff like that. So all of that comes into place when it comes to dealing with women in our lives or our spouses or even our daughters or whatever, you know, and everything like that. So again, you guys tell me how you, what's your thoughts on some of the things I just spoke, if you could, please.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, sir. Okay, I don't know, did I get disconnected? Because I didn't hear y'all anymore. I did all that talking
like,
to y'all.
Right, yeah. It looked like you got disconnected. Go ahead, Brother Esther.
I was just trying to figure out where I got disconnected because I was on a roll. And
oh,
then I realized, yeah, I got. Oh, you didn't. Oh, I guess y'all didn't know I got disconnected, huh? Okay.
No, well, no. I saw your call drop, and I figured you was gonna call back, but I didn't hear you saying anything. You know, I'm sorry.
You didn't hear me say anything.
Well, I heard you say some things, but then yeah, when you stopped, I thought you had ended what you were saying. You were talking about I think the last thing I heard you talking about was, you know, an argument between you and your wife and how she was telling you to, you know, still tell her the truth, stop worrying about how she felt about it or something to that effect.
Right. Okay. Okay, that's good. That summed it up. Okay, good. All right, perfect. Whew. All right. As I said, I wouldn't remember all the stuff I said, so that's fine. That's fine. but yeah, when you're dealing with truth, man, you I think I know there's some women who just I don't care if it's, you know, a little white lie as they call it. But I know some men are like that too. It's like, please, you know, don't lie to me, because when you do, I just can't trust you anymore, period. As a friend, you can't lie to me. And I know sometimes we may lie to people for protection, to protect them. We're not lying to be malicious, but we're trying to protect them and help them and keep them. But with that, some people just, they want to know the truth no matter how painful it is, no matter if it's going to hurt or not. They want to know the truth. And like I said earlier, we cannot dictate or we can't control how somebody feels. Because there's been times I told the truth and I wait for people to give me backlash. And they were like, wow, okay, I received that. Okay, you're right. And left it alone. And I'm like, wait, really? That's it? Yeah, you're right. And they keep it moving. So you just never know. You know, the thing is, for us, we just got to open up our mouths.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, of course, pray about it, do it in love or whatever, but, you know, nothing like somebody coming to you with truth and they coming to you out of love. They sound comes to you out of love, man. I don't even know how to say this, but I'm just going to say it.
Right.
You know, and please don't hate me or hope this friendship doesn't stop because I'm going to tell you some truth.
Amen.
So,
yeah, I agree.
You know, and I think some of it comes from a level of maturity too.
Yeah.
You said, thank God we're not the same as we were some years ago. But I think some of that comes from a level of maturity.
Yeah.
And I'm like that too. You know, you talked about, you know, women, but I'm like that too. I can't stand to be lied to, you know, especially somebody standing in my face, looking me in my eyes. I feel horrible this whole time. Whatever you do, don't lie to me. Just tell me the truth. I can deal with the truth. I can handle the truth. Don't lie to me, because there were situations in my upbringing where people would lie and they would steal, and that's what I correlated with. I feel like if you will look me in the eye and lie to me, you'll feel from me. And so I'm that's where I am. I don't wanna be lied to. I don't have any intentions of lying to anybody. So, you know, and again, I think a lot of it comes from the level of maturity, where you are in whether you are walking with Christ or whatever, but it comes from a level of maturity. And again, some people don't ever want to hear anything negative about them. Okay. They think that they're to catch me out, and you know, they're a bag of chips, all this is a bag of chips. And they just can't handle someone telling the truth about whatever the situation is. It naturally comes with a level of hurt, you know, and such. And quite frankly, a lot of times with the truth that someone gets, the next thing that comes along with the truth is hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe that you would say that. I can't believe that you would say that about me. You know, and I didn't say anything about you. I just told you the truth about the situation. And now it's like it's a personal attack, and now they're falling into that victim's mentality or that victim. Role, like somebody's personally attacking them. And I go back to Paul. How did I become an enemy? Because I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
And so, you know, I conclude that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're telling the truth or not. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Cause whatever you say, it's going to be, in some people's minds, it's going to be wrong and hurtful. No matter how you say it, whether you yell it, speak it softly, monotone, it doesn't matter. They're gonna receive it as such. And that's the maturity level that I think that's, you know, we've grown into, Brother Ray, Brother Elson, where someone can come to us, step to us, and tell us the truth. And with that truth, we can handle it and continue to move on with that person. A lot of people aren't that way. You know?
Mm. That's true. I remember, and Brother Cleo, you can probably relate to this, growing up as a kid and with my grandmother and my mother and my grandfather, the one thing they didn't want you to do was lie, you know, and everything. And if because they already knew what the truth was, but they want to hear you say it, you know. So in many cases, I could quite a few people got a worse whipping by lying rather than telling the truth. You know, there was time that when we did tell the truth, and they were like, "Well, okay, well, I'm not gonna do, just don't do it again." Okay, always be true. But when they lie. I'm going to tell my mother right now. That was, you might get my mom anyway. You might get chased under the bed. I wasn't like that. I don't think I'm ever going under the bed. But
hey, Brother Ray, let me ask you this: Have you ever been sleeping real good, dreaming real good, and all of a sudden the covers came off and you started? You felt something warm hitting your backside.
Oh yeah, that I had. but in this new day and time, they would probably say that's child abuse. But you know,
Look, buddy.
Well, listen. You didn't turn out too bad.
Didn't turn out too bad. None of us did. I don't think. You know. Yeah, none of us did. Cause we remember. You know, and. But I think what's going on now that the new truth is whatever a person said it is. I think that's what's going on right now. We just need to come back to the truth, man. And truth is Christ, you know. And all of us are capable of lying.
Yeah.
You know.
And listen, I don't mean to hog the airways, but man, you know, sometimes the truth is whoever tells it first. You know, the truth is whoever tells it first. Like, you know, you got two people, and this person number one gets to the police officer first and says, "This is what happened." Well, they tend to believe that story more so than the second person that comes into the place. So a lot of times the truth is whoever tells it first. You know, you're going to tell somebody something. And you make it sound really convincing, and that's the truth. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched a crime show, and the prosecutor is presenting their case, and I'm like, yeah, they did it. And then the defense attorney comes up and starts to present his case, and I'm like, well, maybe they didn't do it.
Right.
And you don't know what the truth is. And that's why you got a judge sitting there, and the judge's job is to decide, okay, who's being truthful?
Yeah, right.
So,
amen.
So it's just, yeah. Yeah.
Elsa, you got anything, man? Because I don't know what your childhood was like, but
oh,
I know
I experienced the whole sleeping good, you know, on camera.
I don't know why I brought that up.
I know you started some stuff,
and I guess
I'm scarred.
I've gotten beat downs because I did lie. And all I had to do was just tell the truth, and I would have been okay. I've gotten the beat downs because of lying. I've actually disciplined my son for lying. I mean, I just caught him in a lie. So, that's something that, you know, I tell my son, you know, and it's funny because it comes natural, you know.
Right.
Hello?
Right. Yes, hear you.
Yeah, I said it seemed like it comes, it's like an untaught thing. They just naturally do it. They just know, let me, you know, say this so I won't get in trouble. And the cover-up. You know, cover up, and then we try to hit the bed and cover up some more, and the covers are pulled back from us.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
The exposure, everything get exposed. You know, we're almost out of time, but one of the things that I put in my notes also: how does truth impact love, or does it? And I know that many relationships or marriages have broken up because trust has been broken. I think Brother Cleophas, you touched on that earlier and everything like that. But and friendship has been broken because of lies or the truth wasn't told or whatever. And a lie is not only something that's either said or done, but it can be implied to a point when you saw someone saw something happen but didn't speak on it and everything, and you know the truth that you didn't say anything because you were trying to protect another person or whatever, but you know the truth. Is there an obligation to tell the truth even if it's your best friend or whatever and stuff like that, or to be honest, you know, when the question is asked, well, did anyone see anything? You know, because, you know, in our community, we see a crime in most cases, anyway, not all. And I don't want to put it by everybody. But in some cases, people will see something that took place, but they will say, I didn't see it, because they don't want to get involved.
Right.
So they will lie and say, they will lie and not tell the truth of what they saw based off they don't want to get involved, you know,
right.
And stuff like that. You know, so talk to me about that. How does truth impact love, or does it, or whatever?
I just know that people don't like, and I probably include myself into it. They don't like that uncomfortable feeling of getting involved or being the one to tell the truth. Because sometimes it's just that you're that one person. It's you. You're the one that's going to speak it. And because you do it, you stand out.
Right,
you stand out. You stand out like a sore thumb. And people, whether they receive it or not, you're going to be out there by yourself when it comes to that truth.
Right.
It's going to be you. And you, what you said could be valid and could be correct. It could be the absolute truth. But because it is and it's going to cause an uproar, you could be by yourself. In that situation, it's just you by yourself. It's nothing that you can do about it. It's really nothing. Again, you can't control how people see you. You know, you can do your best. I can cross every T, dot every I, but I cannot control how people see me and if they like me. I could be the nicest guy, but they still not like me because I'm a nice guy.
Right. Right.
You know, look at Jesus. They didn't like him at the end. They didn't like him. You know, Palm Sunday, they worship him saying, Hosanna. You know, they worship this man. They's like, man, this dude's the best thing since we bred.
Right, right.
So, and then on Friday, they yelling, crucify him. Uh-huh. So, and look what he did. Healed the sick, raised the dead, washed in water. He fed people with fish and bread. They were content. They were hungry. They were starving. He fed them, took care of them. You know, he did so many things, but yet they said crucify him. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. So if they yell crucify to Jesus, what are they going to say to you?
Right.
What are they going to say to you? So Jesus can control how they felt. He controlled his destiny, but he can control how they felt about him. But I don't know if you heard what I said, but he can control his destiny.
Right.
He can control it. He had absolute control on which way he's going to go, but he couldn't control about how they felt about him.
Right.
Couldn't do it.
Mm-mm. I agree. Thank you. I agree. Thank you. Brother Cleophas, you got anything to add?
I think we said a lot.
David said a lot. Okay.
I agree. I agree with Alston, man. When you look at it from the perspective of Jesus, that's what we all have to hold our standards up against.
Amen.
For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
He endured the cross.
Everything that happened to him, he endured it because he had a picture of another day of what this meant, what impact it was going to have for, and you know, make it personal for me.
Right.
You know, and he saw Cleopas, and he saw that if he didn't follow through with the plan that God had set before him, that I would be lost. And he didn't want me to be lost. So he went through with the plan. And that's the description for the joy that was set before him. He understood what his role was, what his purpose was. He understood it. And he fulfilled it. That's what we should all try to fulfill our God-given role. And, you know, when it comes to, especially what Brother Elson was talking about, what you brought up about it, you got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, man, so that you're not taking all this on your own. Now you're getting godly counsel and godly wisdom about how to handle the situation, you know, what to say, what not. Lord, do I act on this? Do I not act? Heard of the living God, leading God. He wants to. He wants to be in that kind of relationship with us, you know, so that we're not putting any undue pressure on ourselves, any hardship on ourselves. Because, man, you could tell what you know, and it could affect the whole family. And now you got all of that on you, you know, and if you're not mature enough to handle that, you can go jump off a bridge somewhere, kill yourself. So it's important to have that relationship with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, brothers, I just want to leave with one scripture, and Brother Cleophas sort of touched on it already, and it's coming from John chapter 15, verse 26, and Jesus is speaking. He says, "And when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me," the Spirit of truth. And that's the key, that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, should guide us to all truth, that we should really lean more on him and less on ourselves, you know, no matter what the circumstance is. Okay? No matter what the circumstance is. So for those that are listening, I want to thank you for listening to Word Christian Speak Talk Radio. This has been R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Brother Elston and Brother Cleophas and myself, Brother Ray, and everything. We have enjoyed. If you have any questions or want to reach out to us, please do so by any of the social media sites, or you can go to winchristianspeak@gmail.com. We'd definitely love to hear from you, or any comments, anything like that. Check us out on Facebook. Amen. And we're about the kingdom building. So I hope and pray for those that have been listening. In fact, I know this has been a blessing, because it's been a blessing. These men are mighty men of valor, mighty men of God that God has ordained for such a time as this, to speak honest, to speak truthfully, but to do it in love. So I'm grateful to each and every single last one of them. So, Brother Elson, I am going to ask you to close out for us and everything, and if you don't mind, please.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Jesus, thank God. We thank you for this time, God. But most of all, God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, God.
Yes.
Thank you for you being better to us than we deserve, God. Thank you, God. You kept us. You love on us. You give us truth, God. It's up to us on how we should do with it, but you don't hold it against us when we don't take the truth, Father. When we look for other stuff besides the truth, you don't hold it against us, Father. You keep showing us truth. You keep showing us grace. You keep showing us mercy, God. Thank you so much, Father. We don't deserve it, God. And as we take this time to celebrate Passover, we take this time to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made this week, God. We thank you for just the sacrifice that was made for us, even when we didn't want it, even when we said, crucify him, he did it because he loves us, Father. Thank you for giving to us.
Yes, God.
Loving us. The unconditional love. So, Father, help us to take this time this week to remember to meditate, to think about the time that Jesus was on a whipping post, and mm-hmm. that we know that with his stripes we are healed. And then him being nailed to the cross and his blood to cover our sins for eternal redemption. We thank you, God, for that. Help us to always remember that, to keep that in the forefront of our minds. This week, God.
Yes.
So we thank you. Bless the brothers. I send blessings to my brothers, either ones who weren't on, God, that you bless them going out. You bless them going in. That they will, that you bless whatever they have in need of, Father. Bless their desires, God, whatever they desire, Father. Bless their checking and savings account, Father. Bless their gas tank, God, in Jesus' name, Father.
Yes,
the
God.
Worries that they have, their concerns that they have, Father. God, we declare that they are done now, Father. In Jesus' name, God. I bless them with your favor and let no weapon formed against them or their family prosper in the name of Jesus the Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Awesome broadcast. Thank you, man. You've been listening to R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Godly truth that will set us free. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless you. Amen.
God bless.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.